Blog Talk Radio. Yes, I did. She's calling in now.
Okay. All right. So, it's been a busy day for me today. Trying to get into another farmer's market and submit the paperwork for the EBT processing. Submitted the bank account information to USDA. And so waiting for them to get us that equipment, and then waiting for lost my train of thought there. Waiting for, heck, can't remember what I was going to say. Anyway, must not have been important. All right, so we're going to go ahead and proceed on this evening with the lesson. We want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be, in North America or South America, the African continent, the European theater, the Middle East, the Far East, the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Let me send out a people, let them know that class is starting. Just a second here. All right. That being said, let us go ahead and do our statement of faith. Our statement of faith: I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26 through 29. I can do all thinking. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you, Father, and we glorify you, and we lift you up. We magnify your name, O Yah Elohim, and we extol you, and we bow down, and we give the knee unto you, O Father, for truly you are worthy of all the glory, honor, and praise, and you are surely worthy of our worship. And Father, we freely offer it unto you on this night. And Father, we would ask that you would be with us in this study. Hallelujah. Let your word be heard. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive those, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right, our verse for today that we are going to be using for this particular precept, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show Yah's death till he comes. May the Most High bless you through the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, we left off last week, as I was saying. We left off last week in this precept. And I want to, you know, thank the family for, what was that, Saturday night. The site was not available or was having a hard time getting into it, and we just took time to just pray Yah and read the scriptures and give glory to his name. And, you know, I just needed that myself anyway. So I want to thank y'all, those that participated. We left off, and I'm going to actually kind of back up a little bit in this precept for the simple reason we had been talking about, you know, the Gentiles and what they had to do to actually participate in the Passover, but it's not required for them to participate in Yeshua's supper to be circumcised. And so we're going to look at a couple of things here on this evening before we move forward, because one of the things that, you know, I said that I would show you, and I want to show you on this evening, we're going to read a verse. I think we're going to go to Numbers, the book of Numbers. So we're going to go to the book of Joshua, and then we're going to sort of slow down a minute because I want to talk about the reproach of Israel on the Most High. The Most High said that he would remove the reproach of Israel so that they could take, you know, so that they could observe the Passover. But also, when we are told in the scriptures, if we are, you know, willfully in sin, then we shouldn't take part of the memorial Last Supper of Messiah. We shouldn't take part in that if we are actively walking in sin. And so I want to show also that for any of his feast days, you know, if you're actively walking in sin, you don't want to participate. So we're going to go to Joshua chapter 5 here in just a second. We know that the Gentiles don't have to be circumcised to enter into the kingdom, and they don't have to be circumcised to keep Messiah's supper. But if they want to come close, then they must be circumcised, keep his feast day. Israel was supposed to already be in truth concerning this thing and already know the statutes, the laws, and the commandments of the Most High to be doing them. Requirement on Israel than there were on the Gentile nations. But in the future, the Gentile nations, those that want to cleave to the Most High, that want to cleave to Israel, that want to be part of the land, that want to be part of Israel, I want to sort of to talk about that as a side subject tonight Israel's reproach, if I may. So let's go to Joshua chapter 5, and I'm going to open up, everybody go ahead and open up your mic, classroom environment, and that way if you have any questions, you can go ahead and just ask, or I need to confirm that we're all in the same place when we're doing our reading. So we're going to Joshua chapter 5. As soon as I find the book of Joshua, there it is. Joshua chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 1. And let me get my glasses because some of these I've been seeing kind of blurry. And it came to pass. And when you have it, if you'll say amen. Joshua chapter 5.
Amen.
All right, thank you. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, out of the Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that Yah had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore, because of the children of Israel. So the Most High does the same thing that he did to the Red Sea. He dries up the waters. He causes the waters to split in half, and the children of Israel walked across the Jordan on dry land, just like they walked across the Red Sea on dry land. And at that time, and it caused these nations that were around about this area, when they heard of it, It caused them to faint. It caused them to become, you know, scared of Israel, afraid of Israel, for the Most High's sake. At that time, Yah said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again. Underline circumcise again. So we're talking about the Gentiles, you know, whether they were going to need to be, that they don't. And this is Israel after they have come out of Egypt. And there's some revealing things here in these passages concerning their state of mind, their spiritual state, and what the Most High, what he expects and what he's going to do. So at that time, Yah said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel to the second time. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is Israel walked through the wilderness 40 years. And the Most High said everybody that was 20 years old and older was going to die in that 40 years. So that generation died out. And if you were 20, if you were 19 years and younger, then you were going to live and you were going to make it into the promised land to circumcise again the children of Israel. We got a part of the population of Israel that had never been circumcised from the time that they came out of Egypt in the past, in these 40 years, had not been circumcised. Now, that presents a problem because for 40 years, you got a portion of the population that can't attend the Passover. But you don't find a Passover observance throughout any of these chapters for this 40 years. And because Israel was in transgression, they didn't celebrate the Passover as they were directed. The Most High didn't want them to celebrate him bringing them out of Egypt when the generation before that had rebelled against him. And so we got the young people, everybody born in the last 40 years, 19 years old and younger, and then plus the last 40 years, had not been circumcised. So they would, if they had kept the Passover, they would have been in what? Transgression of the law? That every male had to be circumcised?
Yeah.
So they didn't keep the Passover. And now they're going to keep it for the first time in 40 years. I'm using this as so that we can understand that when we are willfully in sin, the Most High does not want us celebrating his feast day. He don't want you to take part. And we're talking about the Last Supper, and it is a memorial that we keep it forever. He doesn't want us keeping that if we are in sin, okay? Because he says you haven't discerned Messiah's body then. If you can keep it and be in sin, he says, then you drink, we're going to go to those verses later on, but you drink damnation to yourself.
Right,
so when, huh? Okay, you drink damnation to yourself. When you drink or drink of the of his blood or that wine, that grape juice, or you eat of the bread that represents his body. If you celebrate that ceremony, okay? So he doesn't change in the New Testament. But we got people who will participate in these things no matter how their walk is. And we don't want to be that way. Verse 3, and Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of foreskin. Now think about this. Every male, and there had to be in the million, at least a million, he had to circumcise them before they could proceed. And if you imagine that, you know, they call it the heel of foreskin. A million people getting circumcised, it's going to be a lot of foreskin. It's going to make a heel. So it's being very graphic in its description. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcised. This is the reason that Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were male, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way, after they came out of Egypt. So all the ones that had been circumcised are what? Dead. Okay. Now all the people that came out were circumcised. All the people that came out of Egypt were circumcised. But all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. Now remember that when they came out of Egypt, what was going on there was that they weren't in the wilderness that long. They were only in the wilderness like 3 months, and then they traveled around a little bit more before he was going to ready to take them into the promised land, and so they celebrated their first Passover in the wilderness. But then they rebelled. And the Most High kept them from going into the promised land. I said, okay, because of your transgression and because you have rebelled, then you're going to walk 40 years. And I'm going to kill off this generation. So all the people who came out of Egypt, they were keeping the law of circumcision. Even the Egyptians. And those that weren't, if they wanted to come close and keep the Passover with Israel, then they had to agree to keep the statutes, laws, and the commandments of the Most High, and they had to be circumcised. Now we got a whole generation that has not been circumcised. It's a requirement to keep the Passover. So if you got a whole generation that hasn't been circumcised, then I know that you're not keeping the Passover. The Most High is not going to do that. And you can't find it in the scriptures where they kept it. Only that first year. The anniversary they kept. After that, they didn't keep the Passover. Okay. Verse 5 again. Now, all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness. So all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of Yah, unto whom Yah sware that he would not show them the land, which Yah sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that flowed with milk and honey. And the children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised. So it's all their children that were born in the wilderness or born after that, they circumcised. Them they circumcised. But everybody else, okay, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole, till they were healed. You know, it doesn't mention them using any type of anesthesia or, you know, painkiller. So all the men, the young boys, 8 days old and older, they were all sore. And so they had to sit where they were at until they had healed. So they were made whole. Okay, verse 9. And Yah said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of that place was called Gilgal unto this day. Now we want to look at this word reproach. Okay, and how did Israel reproach the Most High? What did he move back off of them? Okay. Let's go to the book of, where are my notes? Wrong note. Go to Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17. And we're going to be getting verse 7. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you, my sister. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices. Now, this is Israel. They shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they were gone, a whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. Now, this is Israel's reproach. They, in Egypt, offered sacrifice to who? Devils.
The devil
is the Egyptian god. Okay. Let's go to Joshua chapter 24. The book of Joshua chapter 24.
Yeah.
And when you have it, just say amen.
Amen.
And let's start, let's get verse 14. Joshua 24 and 14. Now therefore fear Yah and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods, the Elohims which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. So the Most High went all the way back to what, the flood?
Yeah.
And in Egypt. And serve you, Yah. So, again, we see that Israel's reproach unto the Most High was that they served other Elohim. They served other gods. And they really had been doing that since after the flood, before the flood. So, Noah and everybody else was what, before the flood?
Right.
And he said that they served before the flood and in Egypt, okay? So before the flood, even their forefathers, their descendants, were serving other gods. Okay, now we're going to wrap this one up in Ezekiel chapter 20. The book of Ezekiel chapter 20. And we're going to get verses 6 through 9. So when you have it, let's get verses 1 through 9. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. When you have it, say amen.
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 All right. Thank you. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. And it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of Yah. And sat before me. Then came the word of Yah unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith Yah Elohim, Are you come to inquire of me? As I live, saith Yah, I will not be inquired by you. Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. And I said unto them, and I say unto them, Thus saith Yah Elohim, In the day when I chose Israel, and lifted up my hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am Yah, your Elohim, in the day that I lifted up my hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that flowed, that I aspired for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Then said I unto them, Cast you away, every man, the abomination of his eyes. File not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am Yah your Elohim. But they rebelled against me, and would not hearken or listen unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes. Neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. So we have, you know, another, this is a testimony that gives us more detail. And we know that their reproach to the Most High, he brought them over the Jordan. And I'm giving you a new slate. Just like he did with Messiah. I'm giving you a new slate. I'm wiping all the charges against you away. I'm removing your reproach. All the times that you transgressed against me, I'm going to wipe it out. And I'm going to allow you to enter into this covenant with me again and keep my Passover. So this is what he did with them. That's what he did with them. And so when we come into the New Testament, then Messiah wiped our slate clean like the Most High did with Israel. Took away our reproach. Do you think that we rebelled against him again, just like Israel did? Just like our forefathers.
Yeah.
We did. Okay, so this is a reoccurring thing. And the Most High, you know, it's going to be a point where he just had enough. With Israel, he's going to get to the point where he has enough with the world. Just have enough. I'm tired of it. Okay, so when we come into the New Testament, we got to understand when we talk about keeping the Lord's Supper or Yah's Supper or the Last Supper. For 40 years, the Most High did not allow them to keep the Passover because they walked in sin. I'm starting to really be concerned with Israel today in the world, but all those that say that they are keeping his Passover and keeping the Last Supper and them walking in sin. Because that only invites his wrath. And so more and more, I'm seeing how he's saying that many are called, but few are chosen. Because men don't care about this stuff. They just care about being heard, care about being blessed, or what they perceive to be blessed. But they don't really care about what the Most High actually feels or thinks about things. Let's go one more place. We're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 47. And this is mainly to the Gentiles that are listening, but to Israel also. Ezekiel 47. Because to all those Gentiles that want to join to Israel, the law has always been that you had to be circumcised and keep to him. Now, Ezekiel 47 is talking about Messiah's reign. And we know that the temple that's being described here is not any temple that has ever existed before. So let's start in verse 1. Start in verse 1 so we can get a feel for this. So we understand that this is the temple to come, the building to come. And it's going to be in the millennial kingdom. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Ezekiel 47, starting in verse 1. Afterwards, he brought me up again unto the door of the house. Now, this is his house, his temple. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house. Now, wait a minute. Water is coming out of where? From under the door of the temple. Right. The threshold, that's the door, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And waters came from under the right side of the house and out the side at the south. So let me start over and read that so we make sure we get this. So we know this has never happened, okay? Afterwards, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued from under the threshold of the house eastward. And for the forefront of the house stood toward the east. So the front of the house is turned toward the east, and water's going to come out of the from under the door. And the waters came down from the, under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. So this is coming out of the altar, flowing through the house, coming out from under the door, flowing east and what? South. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without the outer gate by the way of, that looketh eastward. So he brings them out of the north side of the house, and then brings them back toward the east. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. The right side would be the east and the south. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the anchor. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knee. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. So it went from his ankles to his knees up to, you know, to the crotch area, your loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. So the further the water gets away from the house of the Most High, what, the deeper it gets? So when they're at about 3,000-4,000 cubits from the throne, it's a raging river. Now, these waters that are coming from under the altar and coming out of the doorway, they got some special properties to them. Verse 5 again, after he measured 1,000, it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in, rivers that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river, to the edge of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees, on one side and on the other. Now listen, hear how these trees are going to behave. Then he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country. Whithersoever the river shall come, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. Now, whatever these waters touch, they shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come here. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live, whether the river cometh. So this river is bringing stuff back to life, but it's also multiplying life. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi, even unto En-Jelim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets, and the fish shall be according to their kind, as the fish of a great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places, like the muddy places along the edge of the bank, and the marshes thereof, shall not be healed. They thought. So this river coming from the throne is running into the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is all salt. And it's going to heal the waters of the Dead Sea, except for along the edges. And it's going to make the Dead Sea, all the salt in the Dead Sea, it's going to heal it of that salt by moving it to the coastline in the marsh. Okay? And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on the side and on the and on that side, on this side and on that side, each side of the river, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his month. So it's saying these trees are going to always be in fruit. And they're going to have a different fruit. Now, what kind of tree do you know that produces a different fruit? Period. So this month is producing apples, and next that producing plums. Whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. Meaning that when it says you can't eat it, it's saying that you won't be able to eat it off dry. Meaning you can't consume it all. New fruit according to his month. Because their waters they issue out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, shall be for food, and the leaf thereof for medicine. So each month there's a different type of fruit. And the fruit that these trees are producing, all the people can't eat it all, can't consume it all. Coming out, and they're caused by the waters that are coming from the throne. Thus saith Yah Elohim, this shall be the border. And we're going to drop down because given the borders of Israel at this time and not germane to what we're talking about. But anybody ever read anywhere in the scriptures where any of the thrones in Israel, the prior thrones, the throne of David, Solomon, or any of those kings where water came out of the altar and watered the desert and healed the Red Sea? The Red Sea still poisonous, right? It's still poisonous today. So this has not happened yet. How we know this is a prophecy?
Right.
Of a future event? Okay. Let's drop down to verse 21. Because in the verses in between that, he's discussing how the land is going to be divided to the 12 tribes of Israel, starting with the tribe of Joseph. Okay. Now when we get down to 20, he's concluded. And so he says, so shall you divide this land unto your according to the tribes of Israel. So the land around the river, it belongs to Israel, and Israel, all the 12 tribes, take part in it. Okay? And it shall come to pass, verse 22, now this is for the Gentiles, and it shall come to pass that you shall divide it by a lot for an inheritance unto you and to the strangers that sojourn among you. So you're going to divide it by a lot, and to the strangers that you're going to divide it by a lot for an inheritance. Now, inheritance in Israel means that you couldn't lose your inheritance. If you sold your land in the Jubilee, your land had to be given back to you. So he's reinstituting this system. All of his laws, he's reinstituting them. Okay, so it's for theirs by the inheritance. And also, what? The stranger that sojourns among you, which shall beget children among you. So are they going to still be having children in the millennial kingdom? That thousand-year reign? They are.
I don't think so.
They are.
Are they?
Yep. Until the 1,000 years is over. That's why I said a man being 100 years old will be as a what? Let's go get that.
A young man.
He'll be as a baby.
Right,
you're going to be as a baby. You'll be 100 years old and still be considered as a child. Okay? But they're going to have children. And they shall have an inheritance, and to the stranger that sojourn among you, which shall beget children among you, they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. And they shall have an inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. So the stranger gets inheritance in Israel?
Right.
Okay. Now let's see where they get this inheritance from. And it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourns, in what tribe the stranger is living, there shall you give him his inheritance, saith Yah. So wherever he is living at, whatever tribe he is in, he or she, when I'm saying he, I'm talking about the stranger, period, they get an inheritance, okay? So understand that, because a lot of the times, you know, we hear teachings and the only one that's going to be in the kingdom is Israel. Did we just read Israel's the only one in the kingdom?
No.
No. Okay, and did we just read that Israel's going to get their land back and get and be divided again by tribes?
No.
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did. I'm reading it right now.
Right. All right, amen. So each tribe is going to get their portion of land back that they had from the beginning. The Most High didn't redraw the lines or anything. But before the stranger, the thing that is stranger, the stranger didn't have a what? Inheritance?
Inheritance.
Now the stranger in the millennial kingdom has an inheritance in the land. Now, if they have an inheritance in the land, do you think they're going to be required to keep the statutes, the laws, the commandments, the judgments of the Most High?
Yes.
They will come to the Passover. They will come to Pentecost. They will do the heave offering. Because a lot of people don't know that Messiah is going to also reinstitute animal sacrifice. The only reason why we're not doing animal sacrifices today is we don't have a temple. And we don't have an altar. And you can't just make your sacrifice anywhere. The Most High made it so that you had to make your animal sacrifice at the door of the temple. Did the Most High consider that all sacrifices were evil? In other words, were there sacrifices that pleased him?
Yes.
Okay. Were they for sin?
No.
Exactly. So there were sacrifices that he had made that he said were a sweet savor, a sweet smell in his nostril, and they were not for sin. Your peace offering, your heave offering, your free will offering, your peace offering, your free will offering, the heave offering. The only sacrifice that was for sin was the sin offering. The meal offering was not for sin. Those sacrifices were a sweet smell in the Most High's nostril. Today he wants us to be the living sacrifice, but he's also going to reinstitute in the millennial kingdom animal sacrifice. When these sacrifices are done, the heathen or the strangers that sojourn in the land, just like they was the stranger allowed to make sacrifices up under Torah?
No.
The strangers were allowed to make sacrifices. If they became one with Israel, then they were allowed to make sacrifices. Let's go get that, just for so you won't say Brother Miles said it. Just a second. Let me find that.
Is now in the conference.
Just a second. Let me find out where that is. It's going to be in Leviticus, but Turn to Leviticus chapter 22. The book of Leviticus chapter 22. And let's see, where are we going to start? What I was looking for, hold on. There. Yeah, let's go Leviticus chapter 17. Let's get verses 8 and 9. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils. That's verse 7. After they have gone a whoring, they shall be a statute forever. I was already here before. Unto them throughout their generation. Verse 8. And thou shalt say unto them, whosoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of who?
Strangers.
Which sojourn among you. That offer a what?
A burnt offering.
Or a sacrifice. And bringeth not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it unto Yah, even that man shall be what?
Cut off from among.
So the Israelite man, anybody of the house of Israel, or the strangers, which sojourn among you, that offer a burnt offering or a sacrifice. Now, there is go to Numbers chapter 15. Just to drive this nail into the coffin. Numbers chapter 15, let's get verses 14 through 16. And when you have it, it's just say amen. And if a stranger sojourn with you, or whosoever be among you in your generation, and will offer a what?
An offering made by fire.
Of a sweet savor unto Yah, as you do, so shall what?
He do.
So if there's a stranger that sojourns among you, that wants to make a sacrifice unto Yah, the same rules that I gave you, apply to what? Him. One ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation and also for the stranger that sojourns with you. An ordinance forever in your generations. As you are, so shall the stranger be before Yah. One law and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourns with you. So when we read in Ezekiel 47 that the strangers that sojourn amongst Israel, they get an inheritance, right?
Right.
And they will have to do exactly what Israel does. Is Israel commanded to keep the Passover?
Yeah.
Pentecost?
Yeah.
Trumpet?
Yeah.
Atonement?
Amen.
Tabernacle?
Yeah.
Eve offering, whatever feast days Israel keeps, the stranger has to what? And the laws still apply to the stranger. So if it was a law that all Israel had to be circumcised, does the stranger have to be circumcised that wants to stay with Israel?
Yeah.
Okay, just want to make sure that we understand that, because this even goes toward, remember that Messiah being our Passover, and we celebrating and memorializing his death, remembering that that's a commandment, then those that want to be close to Israel, want to come close to the Most High, they got to keep all the laws concerning that thing, the same as Israel does. Okay? So just want to make sure that the Gentiles that are listening understand that, you know, you can't say that you're, if you want to be close and you want to become a part of Israel and you want to have an inheritance in the land, the scripture says that you get an inheritance in the land. But you have to do the same thing as Israel does. So to enter into the Most High's kingdom, you're not required to be circumcised. But if you want to come close, if you want to become part of the nation of Israel, if you want an inheritance in the land of Israel, in whatever tribe you want to stay in, there's another verse that says that, whatever tribe they want to stay in, then they get an inheritance. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So let's go back into the lesson. Let us go to... Yeshua's the Last Supper. Go to Matthew chapter 26. The book of Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to get verses 26 through 29. Who instituted the Last Supper? Yeshua's Supper. Verse 26. And when you have it, you say amen.
Mm-hmm.
And as they were eating, Yeshua took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant. Now in your scriptures, by everyone will probably say testament, but remember that word testament is a mistranslation. And really, when it says New Testament and Old Testament, all of the Bible's versions of the Bible will have this word correctly translated as covenant. The old covenant, and did the Most High say make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah? Or did he say a new testament?
A new covenant.
Okay. So the new, what we call the New Testament is the new covenant. Amen?
Amen.
Which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Okay, so Messiah institutes the Last Supper and the memorial of it, okay? Let's go to Mark chapter 14, the book of Mark chapter 14. Got to have a witness. Mark 14, and let's get verse 22 through 25, and when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, Mark 14, chapter 22, and as they did eat, Messiah took, Yeshua took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of Elohim. Okay. And let's go to Luke chapter 22. And we're going to get verses 17 through 20 when you have a say, amen.
Amen.
And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of Elohim shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, or the new covenant, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrays me is with you on the table. Okay, we don't need that one. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to be getting verses 23 through 26. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And amen. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. For I have received of Yah that which also I delivered unto you, that Yeshua HaMashiach, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the new testament or the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as you drink it. What time frame is that? Is that the 14th day of the first month?
No.
Is that the 15th day of the second month?
No.
Is that the first day of the seventh month?
No.
Is it the 10th day?
Is now in the conference.
Is it the 10th day?
10th day
of the seventh month?
Seventh month?
No.
So what is how often? What is as often as you drink it? When are you supposed to be drinking it? It's not specific, is it?
No, it's not.
So, I don't know why we have people saying that this should be done at Passover only. Because Passover, are we told exactly when to celebrate Passover?
Yes.
Are we told exactly when to celebrate the heave offering?
Say that again.
Are we told exactly when to celebrate or observe the heave offering? The Feast of First Fruits?
Yeah.
Pentecost?
Yeah.
Trumpet?
Yeah.
The Day of Atonement?
Yeah.
Day of Atonement, Feast of Booths, the coat.
Tabernacle.
We're told exactly when to celebrate all of these, right?
Yes.
But as often as you do it, doesn't give you a time frame. It's just what? As often as you what?
As often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup.
So whenever you do it, remember me. Now, if you keep it once a year at Passover, I'm not going to tell you wrong. That's as often as you do it.
No.
If you do it every month, that's as often as you do it. If you do it every week, that's as often as what?
You do it.
You do it. And that's all he says, as often as you drink it. But you better remember me when you're drinking it.
No.
Okay? So we need to understand that, not try to paint people into a box when they are doing this. Now, I do want to cover some other things while we're here. Let's go back up in these verses. We're not going to get into about long hair and all this kind of stuff, okay?
No,
let's go to, let's start in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. So I'm not praising you because you come together for the better, but they're coming together for the what? Wait a minute. Where's that coming from? Okay. All right. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. Okay, the Most I don't want there to be what, divisions among us?
Right.
We all supposed to be of one mind?
Yes.
Speaking the same thing?
Yes.
Not you got your opinion and I got mine?
Right.
Okay. And I partly believe it, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper or Yeshua's Supper. So when you come together, every one of you, together in one place, it's not to eat his supper the way y'all guys are acting, okay? For in eating, everyone taketh before others his own supper. They're not, if you're taking your dinner before somebody else's, what are you doing?
Eating before them.
You're eating before them. That means you're not serving. You're being
served.
Well, even if you're serving yourself.
Right.
You're not looking out for other people and serving them first. Okay. You come together, therefore, in one place. It's not to eat Yeshua's supper, for in eating, everyone taketh before the other his own supper. And one is what?
Hungry, and the other one is drunk.
So this sounds like they're having a party.
Right.
And it's just a free-for-all. There is no reverence to Messiah. There is no reverence for the poor. There, you know, this is what the Most High says is an ungodly atmosphere. We coming together. We're supposed to be here to remember Messiah. But every man is for himself, trying to get full.
And drunk,
and one is hungry, he ain't been looked after, and another one is drunken. Now, I've heard of, you know, brothers being together on the feast days, and it's a feast time for them, and they're getting what? Drunk and full?
Uh-huh.
You're not the truth. Well, really, the truth of the matter is, when you look at the feast days, none of them are supposed to be treated that way. Not to be done in them. But let's look at this one specifically. Verse 22. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? If you are supposed to be honoring and remember what Messiah did, you don't come together and just have, what, a common meal?
Right.
And be getting your buzz on?
Hmm.
Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise you what?
Church of Yah.
The Church of Elohim, Yah.
Elohim.
and shame them that have not. So in the house of the Most High expects everybody to be what? Taken care of?
Right.
And we already know, according to the New Testament, we're all supposed to have everything, what, in common?
In common.
And they are shaming them that have, what, not. Oh, you ain't got no food? You ain't getting none here.
Huh.
You didn't bring none? You don't get none. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of Yah that which also I delivered unto you, that the Master Yeshua, the same night in which he was betrayed, took up bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in what? Remembrance of me.
Remembrance of me.
And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had stopped saying, this is the cup in the New Testament or the New Covenant, in my blood, this do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show Messiah's death, Yeshua's death, till he comes. Should you be celebrating somebody's death with a party?
No.
That's not a common thing. Should you be drunk at somebody's, you know, you drunk at somebody's funeral?
No.
No. You should be solemn. You should be sober. You should have respect. 7. Wherefore or therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of Yeshua unworthily shall be guilty of the blood, the body, and the blood of Messiah. That means it's just like you what? If you don't respect, just like you crucified him. You guilty of the body and the blood. You guilty of disrespecting it. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh what to himself?
Damnation to himself.
Damnation.
Not necessarily the body of Yah or Elohim.
Not discerning his body. Not discerning the body of Yeshua HaMashiach. Not discerning what he did and showing respect for it. For him and what he did. So you there arguing and fussing and having a good time and getting drunk and, you know, feasting. When it says solemn assembly, what does the word solemn mean?
Sober.
Sober, with reverence. Respectful. How many of you know brothers that celebrate the feast days with a feast and getting drunk and playing dominoes and cards and stuff like that?
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be. And we wonder why we still have issues.
Huh.
It's supposed to be a solemn occasion. And anytime we do, quote unquote, communion, then you're supposed to have already, what, examine yourself? Making sure that you're walking in the way? That you don't eat damnation or drink damnation to yourself? So if you are in sin, if you're walking in sin, willful sin, you shouldn't take part in this. Just like the Most High wouldn't let Israel take part in what, the Passover for 40 years?
Right.
40 years. Because they walked in sin. They were rebellious. And then half of them were rebellious, and he waited until they died out. The other half had not been what? Circumcised.
Circumcised.
So they didn't celebrate the Passover. And you don't celebrate this if you are walking in sin. If you haven't examined yourself and made sure that you are worthy to take it. If you're not worthy, don't take it. It's better to not take it than to drink damnation to yourself. Because I believe every time that we do this, it's being recorded. And if you're not walking right before the Most High, that's also being what?
Recorded.
Oh, yeah. They didn't discern your body, Messiah. They down there acting gluttonous. They having a meal off of you. It's not supposed to be that way. That's what they, this is all about your mindset. All about understanding what you're taking part in. And it's not just a couple of second celebrations. And that's what people do. For these few couple of seconds, I'm going to be right. And the rest of the time, they're raising hell. Not worthy. But we got to understand, and this goes to the Jew and to the Gentile. Because both Jew and Gentile can what? Take part in this?
Yeah.
But, wait a minute. They're not up under a law. Ain't that what they say? A law not to examine yourself. They don't think that's a law. If they don't think it's a law not to drink damnation to themselves, they don't really understand what a law is. It's not a suggestion. This is a commandment. Verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, many die. Now, we have to understand this next verse. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If you judge yourself and say you're not worthy to partake of it, then you're not going to partake of it and be what? Judged. You keep yourself from being taken on damnation. By judging yourself. No, I'm not worthy to take part of this. I'm not worthy to take part of Messiah's body. I've been walking not upright before him. But when we are judged, we are chastened by Yah, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, wait one for another. Don't somebody go and say, well, you know, I'm hungry. I'm going to go ahead and eat. And if any man hunger, let him eat where?
At home.
At home. Don't come to Messiah's Supper to celebrate this and because you're hungry. Because all you're getting is some bread and a little bit of wine anyway. You ain't going to get full. That you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. So these people were actually what, doing this? Partying and drinking and not discerning Messiah's body, not understanding the significance of it. And that as often as you do it, we do it once a month at least, sometimes twice a month, depending upon what's going on that month. But anytime we do this, we should do it with what, reverence? Respect. We honor him. We remember his death and what he went through for us. People have done, they start making these feast days about them. When can we bring the whiskey out? I heard that at a Passover observance. I was like, what? Is that what you're worried about when you can bring the whiskey out? That's a problem. All right, let's continue. So Messiah instituted this new covenant, and he says, as often as you do it in remembrance of his death. and remember what he went through. I don't know how you can hoop and holler, be, you know, laughing and joking and playing around, and you realize, and you remember that what Messiah went through. How do you do that? He died for you, but he died horribly for you. Punched in the face, spit on. A crown of thorns placed upon his head, and then beat into his head with a rod. Made fun of, whipped to probably within an inch of his life. Probably couldn't. He was whipped so bad he couldn't carry that the cross.
Right.
And they had to have somebody else carry it for him. And then they nailed him to it. They didn't tie him to it. They nailed him to it.
Hmm.
I want you to imagine somebody taking a big nail, not a little nail, a big nail and nailing it through your ankle.
Hmm.
Through your ankle and into a board.
Hmm.
And then they do the other foot. And then they do your wrist. That is nothing to celebrate over. That is something that should make you sick to your stomach.
Yeah.
You, very grievous. You know, people didn't like that movie Mel Gibson did about the Passion of the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to give him his props. Because you can read stuff in the scripture. Reading is one thing, actually seeing is another.
Yeah.
And he did a daggone good job at portraying what they did to Messiah.
Yes, he did.
And anybody that could watch that and not be affected, then you know they can't really belong to the Most High. They can't belong to Messiah. Anybody that could see that and not be affected, if it was just the everyday man, it would make you sick to your stomach. The fact that it was Messiah, even more so. So I know that's the only movie ever came out of talking in tongues. And I was literally talking in tongues. I couldn't, you know, I just could not imagine him having to go through that for me. And it should make it personal because he went through it for what, each of us?
Yeah.
But he says, scarcely will another man die for somebody. So you're going to put your life on the line for somebody you know is evil and wicked. We'd probably be like, I ain't dying for them. But that's what Messiah did. Died for the wicked. So when we take part in this Last Supper, this memorial to him, we need to do it in the spirit of reverence. Respect, honor, remember exactly what he went through for us. All right, let's continue. What time is it? 26 hours, so we got time. All right, let's continue. Go back into the Word of the Most High. Everybody understand that this is a solemn occasion.
Yeah.
All right, amen. And everybody understand that you should not take part of it if you are walking in willful sin. Okay. Did the New Covenant Church observe Yah's Supper? Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts chapter 2. And we're going to get verse 2. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Because the breaking of bread wasn't just having a meal, but do you think Messiah's death is fresh in their mind?
Yes, I do.
Amen. And he has just appeared to them not too long before this, about 10 days before this, and spent 40 days, he appeared before 40 days, but spent 40 days explaining to them, taking up. So when he told them to do it in remembrance of him, I think they might have been close to doing it every day. Man, I can't believe he went through that. They've been very solid. And this is what is lacking today. Verse 43. And fear came upon every soul. People are not serving the Most High out of fear today.
They still are.
They serve him out of, you know, somebody told me to do it, or, you know, he loves me, and I was told that this is what they did. This is how they observed. But they don't do it out of fear. Because when he come back, he ain't coming back the same way. He's going to come back the same way, but he ain't coming back in the same state. He's not coming back as the lamb. He's coming back as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And I dare anybody, get in there with a lion. Just you and him and see how you fare. If a lion can take a full-grown man in his mouth and jump from the ground up to the first story, up on the roof of a one-story home, you ain't got much chance with it. So, Messiah's coming back. He's coming back as a lion of the tribe of Judah with more strength and power and authority than a natural lion. And he's not going to be playing.
Huh.
So it says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So people, when they heard this gospel, when they heard about Messiah, they weren't, you know, we should actually go and read most of Acts chapter 2. I want you to tell me the state of mind of these people, okay? Did they fear the Most High? Were they upset? Let's read this. Go back up to verse 1, and we're going to read this, and then we're going to call it a night. We'll pick back up on next week. The perfect time to cover this because we're coming up to these events. We're coming up to the Passover. We're coming up to the heave offering and those things. And so let's get that in front of them. All right. Acts chapter 1, verse 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, 50 days after Passover, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues. Let's look up this word cloven. Cloven in the Greek is diamerizo. To partition thoroughly, literally to distribute, figuratively dissension, cloven, divided, part. So they have divided or different tongues. like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as they were taught. As the Spirit gave them utterance. You can't be taught to speak in tongues. And anybody that was taught to speak in tongues, you need to go back and re-speak your salvation. Because tongues is a sign that the Most High has chosen you. So if somebody got to teach you how to mimic when the Most High has chosen you, there's something wrong with that. Spirit gave them utterance. And they were all dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews. What kind of Jews?
Devout men.
Devout means holy. They kept the law. Out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised, or when this was heard abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, were confused, because that every man heard them speak in what?
Their own language.
So if you were German, you heard German. If you were Russian, you heard Russian. If you were English, you heard English. If you were Arabic, you heard Arab. Because these are all Jews, but they don't all speak the what?
Same language.
They don't all speak the same language. They're not all speaking what? Hebrew?
Right.
Or Aramaic? Or Greek? They're hearing the language which in the city or the country wherein they were born. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Galileans don't speak my language. And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and in Cappadocia and in Pontus and in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and what? Proselytes. A proselyte is a convertee. So these men had converted to the way, following what the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High.
Right.
And they had become part of Israel. They had decided that they wanted to become of the land of Israel. That's a proselyte. Okay. Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of Elohim. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what does this mean? What's going on? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Listen to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith Elohim, I will pour out of my spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Most High. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and the signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness. Now, this is the second part of this prophecy that hadn't come true yet, hadn't happened yet. And the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of Yah come. He's coming because I've appointed, what, a day?
Yeah.
That I will judge everybody, a day. So this is the second part of this. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of Yah shall be saved. You, men of Jerusalem, hear these words, Yeshua of Nazareth, a man approved of Elohim among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which Elohim did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of Elohim, you have taken and by weakened hands have crucified him. Let's stop there for a minute. Verse 23, I'll be right back. Let me play a song. I'll be right back. Sorry about this. Check, we're in verse 23. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
All right. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Back to Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of Elohim, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom Elohim has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. So he's breaking down to them that they have taken the Messiah and what, crucified him. And Mosiah has raised him back up because death couldn't hold him. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw Yah always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy and with continence. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the day that speak of you. Let me start that over. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that Elohim has sworn with an oath to him that out of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Mashiach to sit on his throne, he seeth this before spake of the resurrection of Mashiach, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Yeshua hath Elohim raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of Elohim exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has said forth this, which you now see and hear. So he's breaking it down to them that what you're seeing is because that the Most High made a promise and showed David that, hey, I'm going to raise up somebody to sit on your throne forever, which is really the Most High's throne, and you're not going to let me stay in corruption either. You're going to resurrect me, David. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he has said himself, Yah said unto my Yah, or my Yeshua, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that Elohim has made this same Yeshua, whom you have crucified, both Master and Christ, Messiah. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, or of the Ruach HaKodesh. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as Yah our Elohim shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they were glad. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. See that Messiah being crucified, resurrected for our sake, that this is wonderful news for us. Wasn't so wonderful news for him. But he went to it joyously, and he did it and kept it because he knew what the end of it was. I'm going to be resurrected. Death can't hold me. And when I come back up, I'm gonna come up with all what? Power. And everything's gonna be given into my hands. The same power I have as the Most High Elohim, that same power I have as the Son. So we ought to be super overjoyed at receiving eternal life, but we ought to be super sad at that he had to go through that to save us.
No.
But we are not worthy.
Huh.
We just aren't. We're not worthy. But he did it anyway. With that being said, are there any questions on what was covered tonight?
I have no questions.
All right, amen. Anyone else? All right, no one else? Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, you are a just and wise potentate. Who can know your ways, Father? Who can figure you out? Who can make known all the things that you have for us, that you have not even revealed it? But Father, we just want to thank you so much on this evening for being obedient to your own plan, for coming in the form of flesh, took on death, and you prevailed, that you might pass it to us, and that we might receive eternal life through you, Father. Father, as we contemplate and we think about what you had to go through, as we remember your death, you, the Most High Elohim, having to submit yourself to such cruelty, dishonor, disgrace, having to submit yourself to the hands of your own creation, and allowing your creation to kill you, that you might bring us life. You are the only one, Father, that can bring life out of death. And Father, we just thank you for Christ, your wisdom, and your power unto our salvation. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
All right. We will pick this up on next week. I pray that you receive something out of this and that you understand that the Last Supper, the memorial of Messiah's death, is a solemn occasion. And that you always do it with reverence, not do it as something that you got to do. Don't do it begrudgingly. Don't just go through the motions, but you actually remember what he suffered for us each and every time. Because truly, he didn't have to do it. May keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Serve Yah. Fear him. And keep his commandments.
Amen.
Shalom, saints. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Shalom. Thank you.
Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. You created the world and the universe, and everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign.
Shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, fam.
Shalom, Sister Mary. Shalom, Sister Lorraine. Sister Denise.
Shalom.
And everybody else that's listening out there in Pal Talk, Blog Talk, peace and blessings unto you all.
Shalom. Shalom.